you have a very special nature. One we've worked hard together to unlock. Call me out.
The results are normal.
Anything you want to flag?
No. No, I'm fine.
Mom! Hi, darling.
How was your trip?
Dull. Extraordinarily dull.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today is Gina Versa from the Waffle Press.
Hey, it's nice to join you this fine morning. It's been a little while since I've been on here, but it's good to see you, man. I hardly see anyone nowadays. I'm just by myself.
Oh, my God.
So it's just good to talk at this point.
Gene, yeah. Well, Gene, it's always been a pleasure to have you on the show. So, Gene, what movie are we talking about today?
We were talking about Possessor.
Uncut,
excuse me. Yeah, I keep having like a brain fart with that whenever I think of like the title. I just call it Possessor, but then when you put the uncut, I'm like, oh, this is an alternate cut of it. And I just need to call it like Possessor Uncut.
So how much do you know about the whole uncut situation? Because I'm trying to figure out some more details on it, and I know a couple things, but do you know more about, what do you know about it, the whole uncut thing?
I think it's just an alternative title, I believe, that they're using in some regions. That's the most I know about it.
Okay, because the movie I saw was, I mean, it was the uncut version, and it even had the like the card, the title card at the beginning of the screen saying this has not been changed from its original format, blah 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 blah. So I'm assuming I saw the uncut version since it was not modified, but yeah, because that was kind of a weird thing when I saw the preview. I was like, wait, you know, how has this been changed?
Yeah,
you know, and how did this go unnoticed, you know? And so, but I guess that doesn't matter. We both have seen the uncut version.
Yep.
And so let's kind of get into it a little bit. So what did you think of Possessor Uncut?
It is, you know, a year without any movies, more or less. There's hardly been any. It was such a pleasant surprise to see this. I saw it at the drive-in by my parents' house. And, you know, me and my friend, I think we saw it like at 11:30 or so. It was a pretty late screening. And it was such a good midnight movie. It's like a movie that you would, I mean, back when there were, you know, screenings or more screenings, you'd see it like at midnight or something. And yeah, it really sets like a creepy tone. And I would even go so far to say it's one of my favorite films of this year. It's like this movie, Bill and Ted. And, you know, I forgot what else I've seen.
Then The Invisible Below. Man.
Yeah, The Invisible Man. And like below, way below is like Tenet.
And then Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life is definitely up there. Just not Tenet. I was frustrated with that movie.
Well, hey, I mean, hey, those guys, they're getting to make a Miss Marvel show, and that's going to be cool. I think they're climbing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of sucks the circumstances, but Bad Boys for Life, if anyone didn't know, is like the highest grossing movie of the year. So more than Tenet, more than any other film, and yeah.
Even Invisible Man.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
I like the movie.
Oh yeah, I do too. I'm not making. I'm definitely on the Bad Boys for Life train.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just funny to me, and honestly, it kind of deserves to do very well because not only did it, because it, you know, played very well in the drive-in circuit anyway. Like, it played very well around the country. Like, after everything shut down, it was very huge. I mean, it was, granted, it was, you know, one of only a handful of movies you could watch, but still, it played very, very well. I even saw it again at our drive-in in Atlanta, the Starlight, and it plays incredibly, it's a movie that plays very, very well. So regarding Possessor, I saw this, I did not see this at a drive-in, like you recommended. The Starlight had kind of, by the time I got to see this, the Starlight had kind of phased it out. So I saw this at like a, at a movie theater for like $2 by myself, and it was interesting. It's an interesting movie.
Yeah, and, one word for it.
I made the mistake last week when I saw it, calling it a debut. No, there's another. Brandon Cronenberg made another movie. I think it's called Antiviral.
I have not seen that. I would like to after this movie.
Oh yeah, because here's my first impressions of it, is that it looks amazing, and Brandon Cronenberg has incredible chops. He has incredible chops as a director. The story is kind of, you could do a little better with the story, but other than that, I think this was an impressive, like, not necessarily debut, but a impressive coming out party for Brandon C. What were your kind of impressions with the movie?
Yeah, I felt, just watching the movie, it went to a lot of places that I wouldn't suspect it of going. It really kind of captivated me at every turn. The idea of it, where it's someone like taking over someone else's body, is just so creepy, and just the way that they show those kind of body swap sequences are like so I don't know, like something out of like out of the ethereal of like your nightmares, or if you ever have like it reminds me of I don't know if you ever have like
fever dreams. Cold.
Yeah, like a fever dream, or more specifically, like where you're dreaming that you're you can't move. I forgot the exact.
Oh, sleep paralysis.
Yeah, like sleep paralysis. It felt like because I get that every now and then, and it feels like that. You know, it's like really unsettling.
It is, and it's very uncomfortable, and also. Its tone and score and everything gives this off kilter base to where you're never really comfortable. Even in the scene, even the scenes when Andrea Risenborough.
Sorry.
That's fine. When we follow Voss, you know, back home, it still is so uncomfortable. And Andrea Risenborough, I thought, gave a really good performance as well. I thought, especially the stuff in her house. And actually, her character, just all around, I mean, there's just something interesting about her character, because there's this whole, I don't know if you felt this, but there's this almost like masculine, you know, like she longs for, like there's this awesome masculine, but, you know, almost like trans allegory going on through the film.
I could definitely see that come to think about it, where, yeah, she literally like becomes another person.
Right.
And like takes over like romantic relationships and all that in that person's life, so. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point.
Well, it's not just that, not only taking over, you know, Colin's body or Christopher Abbott's body. It's more of a, she really wants to take on that more dominant, more, you know, controlling aspect of her, you know, of her psyche, of her, you know, of her mind. And of course, you can, write that off as, is part of like that assassin in her, that, stone cold assassin part of her. But really, it just, as the movie goes on and getting to the now very interesting sex scene, it's, the trans subtext of it all almost becomes, text when, she's in his body and they, are consummating, in that one scene. And, and the whole allegory of it, it's very interesting because, because both like psyche, both minds in this movie, especially in the second half of this movie, are fighting, to gain control of one body. I don't know. These were just like interesting things happening. That I was thinking about while I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean the fact that they cut away to her, like her actual actress, when that character's portraying or body swapped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Colin. Yeah, that's certainly not an imagery to suggest that for sure. They would have cut away to the real actress in that scene. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're kind of, I didn't really think about that, but yeah, it's an interesting point right there.
Well, it's just, it really just was something that was just there. And even during the first, sex scene in the movie with Voss and her husband, she's very clearly, thinking of something more dominant. She's very clearly thinking of wanting, more of that that archetypical masculine control.
Yeah.
So for me, so that was kind of where it started. And then, of course, she gets it and she not only kind of not necessarily enjoys it, but she very much, she very much feels her body, his body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all it's, purposes, yeah. 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 So this is an interesting movie. So getting into it real quick, and I know we're jumping around, viewers, and yes, we're kind of sort of spoiling the movie.
Yeah.
But I promise what we've said so far has all been kind of told in the trailer, or you can figure it out in the trailer through the so what did you think of when we got to the whole Sean Bean of it all?
Well, I guess like spoilers, of course he had to die. It was the most Sean Bean thing that he could have done. But yeah, I mean, that was like a really interesting role for him to play. He kind of plays such a pompous ass of a rich fellow. And, I'm sure like he only was there for maybe like 2 days or something of filming. But yeah, he left quite an impression. And yeah, it was cool to see him pop up in this movie.
And then just get, brutally murdered.
Yeah.
It's, and that, I mean, not that there's a whole lot to read there, but that's, what I like about Sean Bean's character is, Cronenberg definitely plays up the father knows best, especially when Colin leaves and after, an altercation and, she's at the house and she's, depressed. She's, not, she's kind of upset and he's kind of giving her this, sort of daddy knows best, like this, I knew better and, you should have listened, whatever. And it really, it's only, Sean Bean is probably in this movie for less than 10 minutes, mm-hmm. but he gives off such an impression because he is, even though in the end Voss is in a way the villain of this movie, but Sean Bean is also, you know, not a great person. And then, you know, things start taking a really interesting turn when Colin takes his will, takes his, you know, body back, sort of. So what did you think of, so I have to ask, what did you think of like the imagery of him trying to wrestle his mind back inside his head as he was trying, as they were syncing them back together?
Right. Yeah. The imagery of this. So, like something out of like an Adult Swim sort of cartoon or something. It's really visceral, mm-hmm. and just the way that they play it, it's like, just kind of like teeth grinding it. Like it feels like it hurts, and yeah, just the way they portray it is so interesting. And yeah, I mean, you kind of don't know who to root for, I guess, in those sequences, because it's kind of like a pong almost, or it keeps the ball keeps going back and forth between them, and like one kind of advances their own sort of agenda, and then the other like advances their own and like hurts the other one, you know, as they're sharing this body.
Absolutely. Well, and also, you know, the movie itself, it plays with that, you know, it questions Voss the entire motives the entire time, like, you know, what is she really doing this for? Is she doing this because she can't stand her reality anymore? Is she doing this because she loves the role play of it? Is she doing this like for the thrill of it? Is, you know, does she like this, you know, life of killing? And Colin's character kind of confronts, you know, her with that, because, you know, Colin kind of, you know, sees her most prominent memories and that's how he figures out, you know, where, you know, her family is and all this, and it all connects back to, you know, is, you know, Colin going there to confront, you know, her and her family, is that for real, or is she going in to kind of eliminate, you know, because this movie also kind of works as like a, like if, like with, like if it all, it kind of works as a, like a feminist tale too, as, you know, if only we didn't have, if only there was no family to, you know, no weakness, we could, you know, achieve our, you know, achieve our goals, yeah. If you, as well. So it's, so it's very, so it's really, you know, so what are the goals here? And then at the end, the ending is so chilling, because when she finally comes out of it, after her family has been, again, after her family has been killed, in this brutal bloodbath, it's, you know, she really has no emotions towards it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like subconsciously she wanted to get rid of her family.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's so creepy. Like
they're kind of annoying to her.
Well, it's, and that's kind of and that is the read on the movie, is it's just like it feels like this thing that she just has to do, and her job is what really, you know, gives her, you know, any kind of, not necessarily pleasure, but fulfillment.
Yeah.
And I think that's the creepiest part of all, is how much, you know, because this movie's not necessarily a horror film, but it is a, you know, body horror / psychological
thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very messed up movie.
Yeah. 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 I mean, so many elements of it. Yeah. Just turn your skin outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, just, you know, just the fact that the place they go, I mean, like they killed a kid, that was like, you know, so or they kill the husband and he's just doesn't want to die, it's just so just shocking, I guess.
Yeah, And then, you know, and then the kid kills, you know, Colin, and it's just, oof. Yeah. It's it's very disturbing.
Yeah, those Cronenbergs are, they need some help or something.
Yeah. They need some help. mm-hmm. So, do you have any like theories on the movie? Because I have one kind of theory about the film. But do you have any theories about the movie, like any fan theories?
No, not that I don't think so. I just feel like that the her name escapes me, kind of her supervisor was planning to take advantage of her and like eliminate her family at any given moment, I guess.
Jen, I think it's, I want to say I read it as like it was gender. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. Hold on, I got the IMDb. Gerder, I think that's her name. Gerder.
Yeah.
So Gerder is very much. So my theory is that Gerder is playing, you know, she has, my theory is that Gerder is really Voss's character. And she's been using Voss as a role play to being a family person slash, secret agent killer or something. I feel like Voss is just another vessel that, you know, she gets to play in.
Hmm.
I know that's kind of, you know, contradictory, but I feel, but there's so much in the movie where it's just like, you know, Gerder just is there and she's just there to you. She very much is always in control. Even if, you know, Voss is not in control of Colin's body all the time, she pretty much, like, it's just way too, it's almost just too interesting, it's too coincidental how Voss, as emotionally removed as she is from her family, Voss is the one, you know, Colin still sees, you know, her memories of, or her, you know, with her son. So it's I almost want to say either Gerder is just cutting loose ends by killing,
yeah,
all of her, you know, her family, and then after this event, or, you know, she really wanted to do this all along. She just waited for the perfect opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's validity in either of those theories.
Mm-hmm. So I guess to kind of, you know, round things out, what did you think of it? I thought the special effects in this movie were incredible. The gore effects were incredible.
Yeah, they were really well done. I mean, like, the sequence where they body swap is just, it feels like gross. It really adds to the imagery and kind of the physicalness of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're so well done,
right? And it feels, and it's all visceral, and it's all visceral, and it's not, you know, complicated stuff. It's just quick edit. It's just very good quick editing. Like, it's when Colin like snaps her like face, and it turns into the mask.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, all it is just an edit,
mm-hmm,
and a sound effect. Like, it's just like you see it, and it's in the wrong context, it could be very goofy, but it works here because it's just so bizarre. Because tonally, the whole tone is just bizarre, and it's bizarre and unkilter.
Yeah, no, I think you said it best.
So what else can be said about Possessor Uncut?
Just like, I don't know. I mean, just see it. Just see it like at midnight or something. It really adds to the tone. Just keep gonna keep an open mind. Maybe don't see a trailer, and I think you'll either really enjoy yourself or maybe just feel grossed out. But at least you get a reaction out of it.
I would say at least don't watch it as a horror movie.
Yeah, that's a good context to put it in.
Because I think people are kind of expecting a sci-fi horror, you know, movie, and really the horror it's not very prominent as much. The science fiction is not as prominent as the science fiction is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gene, unless you have any more to say on Possessor, where can the good people find you?
Yeah, you could find me on Twitter and Instagram, Gene9892. And then you could follow my podcast, the Waffle Press Podcast, on Twitter at the Waffle Press, and then on Instagram at the Waffle Press Podcast. If you liked listening to me, or if you didn't, just follow anyway.
Follow anyway. The Waffle Press has really good content. So I think you guys are doing a Avatar podcast right now, or Avatar Last Airbender podcast, excuse me.
Yeah, Diego and Matt were doing that. So that's it's been interesting. And you know, with a year without really any movies, it's good to go back sometimes to like this comfort food of TV shows or what have you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gene. All the links are in the description below. And please check Gene's show out on YouTube. Thanks, everyone. We will be back next week when we talk about the trial of the Chicago.
Awesome.
What's with you today?
What do you mean? I'm in place.
Can we help you?
Finish this. What are you doing? I can't pull the trigger.
I need to know what she's done to me.
It's become a danger.
Where is she? Come out or I'll do it!
Sometimes that small thought is all it takes to lose control.